Well, Ruth and I are happy to be back here with you on this Memorial Day. I heard the other day that since the Civil War, over 1,300,000 to 400,000 American had died, sacrificing themselves for our country. And we remember them especially. This used to be called the Day of Dedication, and they changed it to Memorial Day. And there's nothing wrong with honoring the vets also, even though Veterans Day used to be Armistice Day in November. So if you served in any facet of the military, would you stand right now? We got anyone here? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Others of you? Well, God bless you. We appreciate your service for this country. I want you to take your Bibles this morning, and incidentally, we welcome people who are watching this on YouTube or on Facebook, on Pine Drive's website. We welcome you into the service. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 16 and verse 33, and just mark that place for the time being. John 16, verse 33. Someone said with a note of sarcasm, "So you have a problem. Well, welcome to the human race. One thing that every human being shares with every other human being is that we all face the outbreak of problems on a continual basis. Having to deal with problems is a disease that's not contagious. It's not contagious because all of us have already been infected by it." I remember an old song. You may remember it. It went like this. Problems, problems, problems all day long. Some days are like that. I mean, it is one problem after another problem with very little peace in between. It's an undeniable axiom that living and encountering problems go hand in hand. They're big problems and they're small problems. They're major problems and there are minor problems. There are anticipated problems and there are unexpected problems. There are problems which are easily solved and barely cause a ripple in the business of a day. And then there are problems which seem to be totally beyond the realm of ever being solved. There are job-related problems. There are family-related problems. There are problems that don't seem to be related to anything at all. The list goes on and on. Now, there are those who think that the Christian life ought to be a perpetual joy journey. As a matter of fact, if a believer has problems, then something must be wrong spiritually. Well, folks, they certainly don't find that fantasy that the Christian life is a problem-free life here in the Word of God. On the contrary, from Genesis to the book of Revelation, the Bible is a book all about people with problems. So don't ever be duped into believing the lie that God always shields His children from problems. You believe a lie like that, and you are going to have a battle with doubt. You're going to live under a load of constant accusation, worry, and fear. Now, certainly God can shield His children from any and all problems if He wants to, but often He doesn't. And when He doesn't, it is all part of His glorious plan. Now, here in John 16:33, listen to the words of Jesus. "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Listen to this verse from the Amplified Translation. Jesus said, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you will have tribulation and trials and distresses and frustration, but be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident. Be certain. Be undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of its power. I have conquered it for you. Now, Jesus didn't say, you might have a few problems to endure once in a while. What he said, in effect, is make no mistake about it. As long as you live in this sin-cursed world, you're going to have problems. There are going to be troubles. There are going to be sorrows. There are going to be distresses. There are going to be frustrations. But never forget, I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of its power to conquer you. Now, because we all have a problem with problems, we must address the issue of the problem of problems. There's simply no way to get around it. Without a doubt, there are those people who do all they can to pretend that problems just don't exist. They practice the philosophy that says this: if I just act like they're not there, then maybe they'll just go away. Well, the denial of the existence of problems only produces new problems, because most problems just don't suddenly go away. They have to be faced. They have to be handled. Then there are those who try to run away from their problems. I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, have seen the Peanuts cartoons. And our favorite character was Charlie Brown. We all remember Lucy and the footballs every time. Oh, come on, Charlie Brown, I'll hold the ball for you. You just kick it. But she'd pull it aside and he'd take a fall every time. Well, in his wisdom one day, Charlie Brown made this declaration. He said, this is a distinct philosophy of mine. There is no problem too great or too small that it can't be run away from. Well, folks, people who try to run away from their problems invariably run right into a new set of problems. Tragically, some people just give up and give in. They give in to the problems that confront them. They see no way out. They become empty. They become depressed. And sometimes when people are overwhelmed by seemingly impossible problems, in their despair, they see no way out except suicide. Suicide is a catastrophe in America today. You read about it nearly every week. You look at the obituaries. Many times they don't go into it, but that's what happens to people who seemingly can't get past their problems. People take their own lives and they leave their loved ones brokenhearted and spending their time trying to figure out, why did they do it? Why did they do it? Now, though all problems seem insurmountable, can seem insurmountable, no problem is ever big enough to cause a person to take his or her life. Folks, listen to this. More important than any problem we will ever face will be our attitude toward that problem. Remember this. Every problem has a limited lifespan. And it is our attitude of perseverance that will get us through the storm and on the other side where the problem has been resolved. Christians should never react to the inevitable problems of life like the ungodly do. I mean, if there is anyone in the world who should be able to live in victory in the midst of problems instead of being overpowered by them, it is those of us who know the Lord. A believer is to recognize that problems are the means of spiritual advancement. We Christians, we mature spiritually through having to deal with problems that come our way. If there were no problems, there would be no growth. We would remain in a spiritual, carnal baby state instead of being conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We all know what they say in athletics: no pain, no gain. Well, in the Christian life, no problems, no progress. Now, it is vital for all of us who are Christians to understand that we are not the victims of fickle fate. We're not people who muddle our way through an existence characterized by the lack of rhyme or reason. Listen to me. Holy God is always up to something in our lives. Always. He's a God of purpose. And the problems that we have to deal with are often His method, the method He utilizes to make His purpose for our lives a reality. Jesus and His disciples were in a boat heading across the Sea of Galilee. Jesus went to the stern of the boat and fell into a sound sleep. But as can happen on the Sea of Galilee because of the topography of the land, a furious squall came up out of nowhere. The wind was howling. The water was coming in over the boat. My goodness, the disciples panicked as the water was crashing over the boat, threatening to sink it. They were bailing water out. You know what Jesus was doing? He was at the stern of the boat, sleeping peacefully. Finally, when they could stand it no longer, the panic-stricken men cried out, "Lord, Lord, wake up. We've got a big problem here. We're all going to drown." Jesus said to those men, "Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?" And the Bible tells us He arose, He spoke to the winds, He spoke to the sea, and instantaneously there was a great calm. But the men marveled and said this, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey?" Now the disciples had a problem on the Sea of Galilee, but the Lord had a purpose in allowing them to experience that problem. There is no doubt that He allowed them to go through what they did in order to teach them to trust Him completely. Folks, fear and faith can't ride in the same boat. And fear and faith can't exist in the same life. I wonder where you are today. With everything that's going on in our nation, everything that's going on in our world, are you living in fear? Or as a Christian, are you living by faith? Faith in the Lord that He's going to see you through. Now, Jesus wanted His disciples to have faith in Him, even in the face of death. The Lord Jesus knew that in the near future, that they would need that kind of faith in Him. Because He was going to the cross of Calvary, and He was going to die for the sins of mankind. Remember when the Israelites came to the promised land? They sent the 12 out to check out the land. 10 of them came back, and they panicked in the face of problems they encountered. "There are giants in the land. How can we possibly overcome them?" 10 of the men saw problems and panicked. But Joshua and Caleb saw problems, and at the same time, they saw purpose. They said this, "God has made the people of this land bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." So you have a problem, either here in the auditorium today or you're looking in at this message. You've got a problem, and it may be a serious problem. You're a child of God. You know the Lord. Well, instead of focusing on the problem, start focusing on the purpose. Instead of asking, "Why, Lord, why?" Start asking, "What, Lord, what?" The Lord is up to something. He's always up to something in our lives. And you're going to discover what it is. And you're going to get in on the blessing He has in store for you if you will simply trust Him. Now, it may be that you're going through some faith-building training. Or it may be that just on the other side of the problem is a prize that you know nothing about right now. By the grace of God, you're going to become it's going to become your possession very soon. A believer is to respond to each and every problem in the same way. What do you think the Lord wants most of all from those of us who belong to Him in the midst of the problems that come our way? Is it murmuring? Is it complaining? Of course not. Murmuring and complaining never move the Lord to any action except judgment. Is it throwing a pity party with no guest except me, myself, and I? Absolutely not. No pity party ever made any problem easier to handle, and it certainly doesn't honor God when His people act like whimpering wimps. There's only one godly response a believer should make to problems, and that response is a declaration of faith in the Lord. I see the problem. It's there. But so is the Lord. It's a great problem indeed. But the Lord is greater. I know that He's going to see me through it in His own way and in His own time. What truly pleases the Lord is us having faith in Him when it doesn't make sense. You remember in 2 Chronicles 20, the story of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. He got word, came in, said, "Almighty King, we're in trouble. There's a great army, the Ammonites, the Moabites, and the people from Mount Seir. They're going to march against Judah." And I tell you, it troubled Jehoshaphat. He called an assembly together, and then he said to the people as he prayed, "Lord, a great army is coming to destroy your people, and we do not have the might to stop them, and we don't know what to do. But our eyes are upon you." Did you hear that? "But our eyes are upon you." The Spirit came upon a member of that assembly named Jehaziel, and he said, "Here's the word of the Lord. The battle belongs to the Lord." It always does, folks. It always does. You know what happened? Jehoshaphat appointed singers, Korathites. They went out singing praises to God. You know what happened? The Ammonites and the Moabites turned against the people from Mount Seir, and then they turned against each other, and when the people of God came to where the battle took place, the whole bunch had been destroyed. We must never forget, the Bible tells us that it's impossible. Not improbable, but it is impossible, totally impossible, to please God without faith. So the Christian life is a life of faith. It begins with faith, trusting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And it continues with faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Now, because faith is at the top of God's system of priorities, He's going to allow us to put up with problems that will test our faith and cause us to trust Him more and more with one purpose, that we will develop a deeper faith that will bring glory to His holy name. Now, in too many cases, Christians don't trust the Lord like they should because they want a problem worked out according to their own plan. It's like the old man who was driving his truck on a narrow mountain road. And he lost control of the vehicle and he went over the side of a cliff. And he was thrown out and he grabbed a dangling bush on the side of the cliff as he watched his truck crash into the canyon 500 feet below. There he is, dangling on that limb on the side of that cliff. And the terrified man, as he was dangling there, cried out, "Is anybody there?" The thundering voice of the Lord echoed across the mountain. "Yes, I am here. What do you want?" The man pleaded, "Please, please save me. I can't hold on much longer. Following an agonizing pause, the voice answered, "All right, I will save you. But first you must turn loose of the limb and trust me to catch you. Just let go now. My hands will be under you." The dangling man looked over his shoulder at the burning truck below him, and then he cried out, "Is there anybody else there?" You get the point, my Christian friend? We're not to look for another way out of a crisis. We're to look for God's way out. Having faith in God means letting Him solve a problem the way He desires to solve it, while we simply trust Him to get it done. Having faith in God means something else. It means that we operate on His timetable and not ours. I don't know about you, but I'd sure like everything to be taken care of yesterday. But God doesn't operate on the basis of our timetable. God may show up in just the nick of time as far as we're concerned, but there is never just the nick of time as far as God is concerned. By that I mean His timing is always perfect. It may look to you today like God is doing nothing with respect to a problem that you're having to deal with, but your perception of the situation is wrong. A minister named Reuben Welch put it this way: with God, even when nothing is happening, something is happening. Dr. James Dobson writes, "The Lord is at work in His own unique way, even when our prayers seem to echo back from an empty universe. The problem is present. The solution appears to be distant. What are we to do?" Very simply, we're to keep on trusting the Lord to work it out, I say again, in His own way and in His own time. There's one other area that must be considered in dealing with the subject of the problem of problems, and that is this: a believer must resist creating problems through ungodly living. Now, what I'm saying to you is that all of us have too often been the source of our own problems because we've chosen to go against the will of God. We've done wrong things. We've made wrong choices. We've taken wrong actions. We have created problems and then asked God as if we deserved an answer. Why me, Lord? Why me? One of the certain consequences, listen, one of the certain consequences of sin is problems. Listen to what Dr. Dobson says about the human dilemma in his book entitled, When God Doesn't Make Sense. Listen to this. We drink too much, or gamble compulsively, or allow pornography to possess our minds. We drive too fast, and we work like there's no tomorrow. We challenge the boss disrespectfully, and then blow up when he strikes back. We spend money we don't have and can't possibly repay. We fuss and fight at home, and we create misery for ourselves and our families. We not only borrow trouble, we go looking for it. We toy with the dragon of infidelity. We break the laws of God, and then believe we've honestly beaten the odds. Then, when the wages of those sins and foolishness come due, we turn our sharp faces to heaven and cry, "Why me, Lord?" In truth, we're suffering the natural consequences of dangerous behavior that is guaranteed to produce pain. Now, when we consider all the problems that man has produced by his own ungodliness, we can understand why Mark Twain once said, "At times, it does seem a shame that Noah and his party didn't miss the boat." You would expect the ungodly to live ungodly lives, but not so with regard to God's people. We are called to embrace holiness, to reject ungodliness. We're called to be in the world, but not of the world. We're called to walk in the power of the Spirit and not according to the dictates of the flesh. How shameful it is when we who are Christians create problems that affect our lives, the lives of others, and bring contempt on the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord, He's willing to forgive us and restore us when we are willing to repent and seek His forgiveness for the problems that we have created. Now the fact is, the problems we encounter put us in a perfect position to discover the glorious power of Holy God. And what we discover is this. He is a God of might and majesty. He is a God of power that is totally beyond the scope of our imagination. Let me ask you this, my friend, either here in this auditorium or watching this message. Are you wrestling with a problem at this very moment? If you are, then hear God's word as recorded in Psalm 50:15. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will glorify me. Now, if you have never trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's the greatest problem in your life right now. For without Him, you are condemning yourself to eternal death. You must repent. What's repentance mean? Turn away from sin as a way of life and turn to Jesus Christ. You must receive Him by faith, allowing Him to become your Lord and Savior. If you don't do that, you will surely perish eternally. Let's stand together and bow our heads in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to help you here in the auditorium, young person, adult, or if you're watching this message, I want to help you to receive Jesus Christ right here and right now. Pray this simple prayer with me out of the sincerity of your heart. Dear Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I know that I have sinned in the sight of Holy God so many, many times. Right here and right now, Jesus, I repent. I turn from sin. I turn to You. Jesus, I open the door to my heart. Come into my heart. Forgive me for all of my sins. Be my Lord and be my Savior. From this day forth, by Your grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit, I will live for You as the Lord of my life. Thank You, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Thank You, Jesus, for coming into my heart. Thank You, Jesus, for giving me the gift of eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. No one looking around. If you prayed that prayer, a miracle just occurred. It's called the miracle of the new birth. And if you prayed and received Christ, and you know He came into your heart, I'm going to ask you to do something for me right now. With no one else looking around, just hold up your hand. Pastor, I prayed and received Him. Young person, what about it? So, I prayed and asked Him into my heart. And I received Him. If you're a Christian already, who's in charge in your life today? Is it Christ as it should be? Or are you trying to run everything in your own life? I guarantee you, you're not ever going to get anywhere that way. Jesus Christ wants to be your Lord, but you have to allow Him to be the Lord. Let's get someone up here in front right now as we give the hymn of invitation. Sir, right here. Someone step up here. Yeah, and stand right here. And if you need to come for whatever reason, the brother's here, and you come forward, and we thank you, Scout. You did an excellent job today. And I want you to know Jesus Christ if you haven't trusted Him. So come right now and do what you ought to do.